This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
You put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism? What part of socialism is not utter part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic. This is such an optimistic.
Healthcare.
Tom,
he gave his
Tom.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully, it's more. Hey, hold on, you have to speak into the microphone.
I said if BS was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, 49 in Meridian, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Pleasure to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-580-5436. 580-KIDO, do we trust the government when it comes to, well, dealing with Ebola, dealing with a lot of things? Why should we trust the people who could not set up a healthcare site to fight Ebola? Great question. We'll have the answer with Liz Peek, a columnist with FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Ma'am, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. Good morning.
Good to have you here in Idaho. What are your thoughts concerning how we're handling this situation? Great point when you're talking about the health exchange doesn't work. Why should we trust these folks in dealing with this deadly disease?
Well, I think it actually even goes way beyond the rollout of Obamacare, which was arguably one of the greatest flops in modern White House history. You know, we have seen that this Obama White House is just not a very good manager on any number of fronts, whether it's the Secret Service, the Veterans Administration, Health and Human Services, you name it. Almost every agency has had pretty astounding mishaps and misdeeds in some cases that really can be attributed to bad management. And I think what's so discouraging to me is that Americans voted in a president who had such a thin resume, no real credentials in terms of management or organizational capabilities or whatever, and here he's put in charge of arguably the biggest sort of organic beast in the world, the federal government, which is much too big anyway, possibly, but it certainly is awfully hard to manage when mainly you have in place political appointees who similarly have very little management capability or expertise. So we have sort of serial, you know, incompetence kind of throughout, I think, many aspects of the federal government today. So I am not at all surprised that this has impacted our response to the Ebola scare.
Well, is there anybody in charge when we're talking about the serial incompetency of this administration? Now we're talking not only dollars and cents, which are very important, but people's lives.
Yeah, that of course is why all of a sudden I think the country is sort of coming to terms with the idea that they don't trust the government. And that, of course, makes this whole response that much harder to manage. In other words, you know, at this point, we really need leadership that Americans are very confident not only in terms of their capabilities of stamping out this disease in the United States or preventing it from coming here, but also confident that we're being told the truth. And I think both of those things now are highly questionable. On the truth monitor side, we have been lied to any number of times by the Obama White House, whether it's about keeping our insurance policies if we like them or whether the NSA is recording and tapping Americans' phones. If you think about it, we have, you know, there just has been a steady deterioration of trust in this president and in this White House. And so now everyone is sitting here, and I'm sure you guys have done your research and all of us have gone online and read the medical journals about Ebola transmission, for example. Guess what? If someone sneezes on you, you can catch Ebola. That's transmission through the air. The droplets of saliva or whatever that can travel through the air can cause infection. Well, we've been told repeatedly by the White House and by Tom Frieden, the head of the CDC, that's not the case. So you read something like that, you think, well, wait a minute, are we getting the full story here? Why, you know, why would they conceal something like this? I mean, I don't know the answers. I'm not a medical person, but I have talked to doctors, and they say yes. I mean, you know, clearly this so-called airborne transmission of body fluids, droplets, if you will, is a reality. So, unfortunately, it's a confidence issue that you really need right now, and it's lacking.
Liz Peek joining us at 580KIDO from FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Were you, I guess we're, Liz, are we just used to being lied to in the incompetency and, and we're on crisis overload that our nerves are burned out?
Well, look, we're 6 years into this administration, and, you know, none of us is innocent enough to think that other administrations, other presidents haven't lied as well. But it does seem to me like there's a cumulative impact here that has undermined, if you will, our relationship with our leadership. And I find that very disturbing. I mean, you know, recently in the press there have come to light some issues that President Obama may act unilaterally on after the election. And by the way, the whole timing of policy rollout and so forth that is so politically driven, so attuned to election cycles, again, that's kind of normal, but I think there actually is pretty good evidence that this is the most political White House in history. I mean, the political advisors are sort of the be-all and end-all of decision-making, whether it's Valerie Jarrett or, by the way, this new guy, Ron Klain. I could not believe that after all the pressure to bring in an experienced, capable manager to oversee the the Ebola response, we come up with a political hack. It's almost incredible to me. So anyway, I think it has led to, of course, low approval ratings for the president because he is seen as detached and sort of withdrawn. But again, looking forward to the next 2 years, it's very worrisome to me, for example, that he's talking about unilateral construction of some sort of treaty with Iran. Now, you know, this is, I mean, as you say, talk about people's lives being impacted. This is a really serious undertaking. And the idea that he's the only guy in the country that really understands what we should be doing in our negotiations with Iran, give me a break. I mean, that is unconscionable. And I think there will be other things such as immigration policy, which are also wrongheaded and unilateral. And I think because this distrust issue is now so huge, you know, the country's really going to be sort of in flames the next 2 years.
And, you know, it's been in flames for that long. Let's go to the phones. Ron, Paul, Jim for Liz Peek here at 580KIDO.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on your serial incompetence. You know, every administration, you know, this one being, you know, by far the most glaring example of incompetence, seems to lead us down this path towards war, you know, based on what is supposed to be called intelligence. But then if it's not, if the intelligence proves to be false, how is it then intelligence? Unless this was by design. You can't have incompetence with Ebola to this degree unless you were intentionally trying to spread something like Ebola. You can't have Fast and Furious and not have intended for there to be consequences with Fast and Furious, hoping to meet the agenda, which was pretty obvious. It was gun control. You can't have these kinds of things, you know, happen in, you know, arming supposed rebels against the Assad administration because you want them out of there, and then end up arming and creating a, you know, Islamic extremists. If anybody was to land on this planet and see our intervention in the Middle East, it would seem that we were for.
All right. Well, let's let Liz Peek answer your thoughts there, Ron Paul, Jim.
Well, you know, we hear this kind of reasoning, particularly, for example, on this surge of illegal immigrant young people to the border this summer. I talked to a lot of people via radio and so forth that felt it was all part of a big grand scheme. Honestly, I think you're giving the White House too much credit. I don't think they have. I think they do have some overarching ambitions, which have to do with promulgation of Democrat principles and labor unions and so forth. But I think in some of these things you're talking about, I think they're just massive screw-ups. I mean, you know, for example, the border surge from the Central American countries, I think that was simply a response to the DACA Act, which in was responding to the fact that Obama was losing credibility and support from Hispanics before the 2012 election, and he really needed that group to turn out to win that election. So he implemented this DACA. I don't mean to get far afield from what you mentioned, but
we never get that way with Ron Paul, Jim.
It's a similar kind of situation where I think it was an immediate political fix which had unintended consequences. And all of a sudden, I mean, all of a sudden this sort of tragedy is you had tens of thousands of young people showing up at the border. We had no place to put them.
Look at our foreign policy, though.
Yeah, but I don't think they have any foreign policy. I mean,
no, I mean, after, you know, many administrations, we've been saying that Iran is 6 months away from a nuke. For what, 20 years?
Yeah.
30 years?
And they're always 6 months away. It's
right.
True.
See, this is the kind of rhetoric, this, you know, fear-mongering, whatever. And you know what? Iran has never invaded another country, as far as I know.
What about Iraq?
Iraq and Iran. Who was we were arming Iraq.
Right, but didn't they invade Iraq?
No.
Wait.
All right. Thanks, Ron Paul, Jim. Liz, speak with us as we continue on. Ron Paul, Jim, very passionate about the Middle East.
Well, I think he raises some good points. Again, I'm not sure what his
good
conclusion
points were.
Is in terms of what our ambitions are in the Middle East. I think, once again, first of all, I have to say, the Middle East is such an incredibly complicated network of alliances and, you know, affiliations that it's almost mind-boggling. But our ability to navigate those rocky shoals is very poor, and I would not argue that at all.
Let's get back to the health exchange for a minute. How bad will it be once this election's over?
The Obamacare thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see a lot of problems. First of all, really amazingly to me, you know, we have to sign up again. And the administration is out telling people that they should go online to review their policies. The 7 million people who actually signed up, 7.3, I think it is, who actually did take out policies are being told by the government, go back online, make sure all the information's accurate, update your income, et cetera, et cetera. What I think that means is that, first of all, they don't have much confidence in the data bank that they've assembled. Probably, you know, as you know, some people aren't paying their actual premiums. We have a lot of concern about whether the subsidies are being appropriately allocated because the income data may be faulty, et cetera. But I just really love to think about all those 7 million people trying to go back online and redo it. Holy crow, it's not going to happen. Everyone's going to say, oh my gosh, last time it took me 3 days. I'm not going to bother. Meanwhile, an enormous number of the uninsured, I think it's over 80%, according to Pew Research, don't even know that there is this 3-month opening for registration. And I actually got up this morning thinking I would write today's column, this week's column, about for a politically astute White House and a group that prides itself on messaging, the actual communications efforts of this White House are appalling. People don't know about Obamacare, even though presidents made, what, 200 speeches about it or something? And they have spent literally tens of millions of dollars, if now not more than $100 million, on getting the information out, and yet most Americans are still appallingly ignorant about how the whole thing works. I mean, and, you know, by the way, the CDC's lapses, part of it's just communications. As I say, for a White House that's so astute at getting voters out, pushing its agenda, et cetera, boy, they do seem very, very poor at this.
Well, I'm worried about when all the waivers go away.
Well, yes, and also, oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about on this. What about the premium hikes? We're being told now, I think the premiums on even the bronze plans, maybe most specifically the bronze plans, are going to go up something like 14% next year. And yes, to your point, there are a lot of aspects of this law which, as you know, were put off till after the 2012 election. Then it was like, oops, maybe we better postpone them for like the Cadillac tax till after the 14 election. And then, you know, probably some of them will come in on, I don't know, after the 2016 election. You know, we're never going to get rid of Obamacare now. It's probably here to stay. Boy, does it need serious overhaul. And that is a really good argument, it seems to me, for bringing in, trying to bring in a Republican Senate, because we actually need this thing to work in some aspect, and we need to get rid of the worst aspects of it. And we're not going to do that the way things are.
Final thought here. We go to Aaron in Nampa for Liz Peek at 580KIDO. Hello, Aaron.
Hi. Yes, I think really the heart of the issue is really the role of government. You know, we've had two failed administrations so far in my brief lifetime. And I think the issue is that government has gone beyond protecting life, liberty, and property. I believe that Obamacare is simply unmanageable by anybody. Issues in the Middle East. These are problems that nobody can untangle, especially politicians in Washington, D.C. And so I think we just need to go back to the founders. We need to go back to the ideas of Jefferson and Washington. And I think that it would ameliorate a lot of these issues.
I totally agree with you. And I have to say, I don't know how it ever gets fixed, because there is not a politician, other than maybe Tom Coburn, who I admire enormously, who really is interested in rolling back laws and regulations. And the reason is, no politician's ever going to make a headline by getting rid of a law. They make headlines by enacting new ones.
I agree that Coburn was great, but the entire Tea Party movement was part of that. But who has quashed the Tea Party movement?
Oh, that's
the
establishment
of the Republican Party. And so it's a real tragedy, in my opinion.
All right, Aaron, thank you for the call. Last word with Liz Peek.
Well, the last word is just sort of, I think you ought to go to the polls and vote your sentiments, because I think your listeners obviously have a lot of good ideas, and I hope that they follow through on Election Day.
Liz, thank you very much. Really appreciate your insight, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. Liz Peek joining us, Fox News, and from the Fiscal Times. Just another of our big guests that we try and get for you each and every morning to make your day a little better and a little bit more informed. 722, 580KIDO. By the way, let's just give you coming up next, the Tway Travel City and Destination and the other show. But let's get you to traffic now at 5.
For the KIDO Tway Travel Great Adventure, here's this hour's city to enter in at 580KIDO.com.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. And the city is St. Louis, St. Louis, St. Louis. And if you'd like another chance, listen during Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Idaho's, preparedness for Ebola. We'll find out what the state's doing. Big announcement yesterday from state officials saying this is what we're doing, this is what we're up against. Now, was that political or was it practical? We'll debate that as well. Other news of the day, what happens when you send your kid to school and they get a flu shot? Well, you did not approve your kid of getting a flu shot. Is there some liability there? And you go to school, you should be immunized, right? Does the school have a point? The schools say they made a mistake, and they promise not to do it again. So we'll talk a little bit about immunization and just something for fodder here. How many of us are going to get a flu shot? We had our friend Charles at Portico Pharmacy offering flu shots for $10. I told you I went to the sleep clinic, which had nothing to do with this cold that I've got. Well, if you had your flu shot, you wouldn't get a cold. I don't know if I'd go that far. But I'm sitting here taking a look at these things, and, you know, they're pushing a flu shot on me. I'm here to figure out how to sleep, not to get a flu shot. What is the deal with the flu shot, and are you buying it? I had my neighbor Robin say, hey, I've had one for over 20 years, and I never get sick. Well, that's great for Robin, but on the other hand, do you believe in the flu shot? I know that's kind of a kooky question, but there are a lot of people, and I guess I've kind of bought into it, where people just don't get the flu shot. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. It is 7:30, 580 KIDO.
Morning, Kevin.
Yes, good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, world. It's a brand new day.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kind of love the state of Colorado and how they're handling the pot crisis. Pot goes, well, pot could become illegal again. Here are the details.
After seeing a number of children accidentally poisoned and others overdosing on pot edibles, the state health department recommended limiting the edibles to lozenges and liquid drops, a suggestion the group Smart Colorado agrees with.
Definitely needs to be considered. It definitely needs to be pursued.
But some state lawmakers say the recommendations are tough to digest, especially since voters included edibles when they agreed to legalize marijuana in Colorado.
To really ban any kinds of edibles is probably going to tie up our state needlessly in court costs.
State Representative Jonathan Singer says he will back a proposal to require pot-infused products to have specialized labels and a distinct look. In Denver, Brenda Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Boy, you gotta love that. Legalized dope and everything's going, gone. Amazing. Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to a friend of ours from FreedomWorks. Is America running out of money? I think we all know the answer to that one, don't we? Joining us now is the director of the University of Idaho's Martin Institute and Program in International Studies, Dr. Bill Smith, to talk about Ebola. Dr. Smith, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you know, is this disease anything different than what we faced in the past? Is it different than SARS or the West Nile virus?
I think it is because it engenders a different sort of fear on the part of people. Just a scary thing to think about getting in a different way than some of the other diseases have been.
Well, we seem to be hearing a lot about it. How do we stop it?
Well, the key is stopping it in West Africa, and there's actually some pretty good news on that front.
Okay, what's that?
Well, first, to me, the most remarkable part of the story is that it's been contained in these three countries. I mean, you had a case in Senegal and a couple of cases in Nigeria, but both those countries reacted very quickly, marshaled their resources, partnered with international organizations, and reversed the disease rather quickly.
Now, what about what they're doing over there, how does that impact us over here?
Well, how it impacts us over here is pretty much any disease situation can become a crisis, it's been said, if you don't react properly. You have a chance on almost any disease scenario where if you react quickly and comprehensively, you can reverse course or at least contain. And in this case, the containment means it doesn't spread not just to other West African states, but into places that are primary trading partners where it'd be a lot harder to control access points and things into the United States.
Sure. Are you surprised that, you know, we only have like 12 beds across the country?
Yeah. Obviously, I pay more attention to the international reaction, but the beds being ready is an interesting question because the key is the initial contact.
Right.
So having the beds is 12 beds right now is, for the time being, capacity, but that means it could change very fast. And if you aren't ready to intervene at the access point, the first point of contact, and get people to those beds, then you've got a crisis on your hands very quickly.
I was going to say, because who would have ever thought that beds would be in Nebraska, three in Missoula, Montana? It's interesting, but back to the international perspective, is there a kind of a coming together with our government, the governments of these countries, to limit this disease? We hear about it.
Yes. It's not just our government, but a number of American agencies. For example, the Gates Foundation has been amazing at this. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, based in Seattle or just outside Seattle, is one that traditionally doesn't spend much money on immediate crises in health. They're looking for long-term mitigation strategies. But they pivoted very quickly in March when the World Health Organization declared this a health emergency and began to dedicate expertise and money and partner with the regional governments very quickly. So that was very helpful. The CDC actually has been active on the ground in the other states as a consultant since March, April. And then the groups themselves, the countries themselves, partner through an organization called the Economic Commission of West African States. They're used to working together. They have lines of communication, and they're talking very early in the problem and very consistently.
How big of a threat is Ebola to other countries? We hear about the threat to the United States, but do the West African nations do a lot of trading with, let's say, Europe or China or South America?
Mostly, well, certainly with China, but primarily those states have their sort of post-colonial ties, right? So if you're in Nigeria or Ghana, you have Liberia. Liberia has a close tie to us. Sierra Leone, Ghana, Nigeria have close ties to the UK. Benin, Ivory Coast, Togo, those states have a very close tie to France, and the lines of communication, lines of trade primarily go back to those countries still. So those are the primary points of where you would expect points of entry if things were to spread.
Now, again, I know your expertise is the international vibe, if you will, but we had a big announcement yesterday that the state was doing everything that they can to make sure that we're good to go. Any thoughts on how Idaho is prepared?
Well, in Idaho or any U.S. state, the biggest challenge isn't the state being prepared. It's really the localities being prepared, because you don't know where that point of access will come. So if you say that the state of Idaho is ready, which might mean Boise's ready, then what happens if the access point is in Rigby instead? That's the problem with any place. And frankly, our state is the size of many of these West African countries in terms of geography and complexity, not in terms of population, but in the sheer geography of the place, it's like these states in size. And that's tough to prepare for, all those different access points at the same time.
Dr. Smith, final question. Should we all buy hazmat suits if we're getting on planes?
If we're getting on planes, no, I don't think so. In fact, one of the things that the West African states have done pretty well is they've got a regional carrier called A-Sky Airlines that's been good at really controlling access to certain points in the region and protecting people that way.
We'd love to have you back, sir. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right, 580KIDO. We go to the phones. We go to Jim in Star at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller.
Good morning, Millie.
Good morning, hey, Jim. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I know. I know the routine. I'm a little bit worried, you know. Not only is the Ebola thing actually a real threat, but, you know, I was talking to some folks yesterday, and they were telling
me. Now, are you really talking about this, or is this shtick?
No, this is real. This is real. And
you're going, you know, why don't you say honestly then? Because that makes a big difference when people say honestly.
I hate that when people do that, or to tell you the truth.
Yes, exactly. Because I've lied to you the rest of the time. Yes.
Yeah, and you know me. I'm. You know, most of my life I've been in some sort of a sales environment, and I just hate it when people go, you know, let me tell you honestly. It's like, or to tell you the truth. It's like, no. So, anyways, off the topic, but you and I are both believers in God, and you and I both have faith, and you and I both know that there's troubles within all churches. One of the things that I see that I just came across, Kevin, and this just made my stomach turn, was these folks are bringing in adopted kids from Africa, and they're bringing them into the country, and they're on their way now, and they've got a network of people that have brought them into the Treasure Valley through their church, and they're HIV positive, and who knows what else they've got that they're bringing in. And
saying for sure that people are bringing in kids that are HIV positive.
Not sort of, kind of, maybe 100% positive.
You have proof.
Yes, I have proof.
You've seen these kids firsthand.
The kids that we were just talking about a few days ago have not arrived yet, but they are on their way, and they both have AIDS. And I could tell you more about the story, and I don't want to, because of the fact that I don't want to.
You don't want to reveal your sources. I understand.
No, and I don't want to basically get someone.
Well, I think you already have there, buddy, with your big mouth.
Well, here's the problem, everybody, is yes, be a good steward of the Lord and do the right thing, but don't go bringing people that have life-threatening diseases and other issues into our country to make a problem here. I don't get it, Kevin. People have lost their minds. Even in the goodness of their heart, when they try to make a decision from the heart and soul, they can't make one correct.
So what does this have to do with Ebola?
Well, what does it not have to do with Ebola? Who says that these kids that are coming over, who says they don't have Ebola? They know 100% certainty that they do have AIDS. They know that. So
and why are they AIDS. And the parents love them anyway? They're going to adopt them even though they have AIDS.
Right, right. And my point is this: if you want to go,
they're a better person than I am.
I know. And if you want to go raise kids and take care of kids in the Sudan or anywhere.
I'm a big fan of why don't we take care of the American kids?
Me too.
Yeah.
And why don't we keep this somewhat of a plague-free society we used to live in? You know, why don't we keep it like that? Why do we have to bring this problem in? I'm sort of just reaching out to people. If your heart's telling you to do something, follow your heart, but don't compromise the safety of the rest of us. Does that make sense?
Jim, I you know, you always have an open floor here.
Well, thank you.
Even though we're getting instant messages about that, you know, going after you, this guy's repugnant, he's ignorant, why do you have him on?
Oh, really? Hmm? Oh, boy, God. Going after you, huh?
Going after you.
Going after me?
Yeah, for having you on.
Oh, come on. That's crazy. I want to see proof. The only one that's upset with me right now is Alan L.
No, that's not Alan L. Morton. But anyway, Jim, it's been too long. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, hey, keep the powder dry, guys.
And by the way, thanks for showing up at our Chick-fil-A event.
That was cool. I do have some video from that event that is definitely captivating.
Where Alan L. Morton and Pat from Middleton and Greg almost got into it, right?
The best part of the video is when you are basically like a teacher in school, and just it's like the teacher / principal comes into the room and just calms everybody down real quick.
When I got up and started screaming at everybody, that's what happened off the air. Yeah.
No. it's a great. You know what? I should probably get that to you so you can post it on your KIDO site because people would love seeing that.
That would be good. Thank you, Jim.
Hey, take care. Keep your powder dry.
All right. Our great friend Jim from Star 749, 580 KIDO. Coming up next, you think Eric Holder was bad? Well, somebody in the Justice Department wants to decriminalize not just marijuana, but all drugs. We'll talk about it next. Do we have any good news in this program? No? 749, Kevin Miller, time for traffic.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Kind of a strange report coming out of Chicago. The President of the United States was involved in early voting, and you had somebody come up to the President and I guess apparently teases the President, hey, don't touch my girlfriend. And this is news?
Obama is in Lincoln Park raising money for the Democratic National Committee, but earlier the President took advantage of a little early voting. CBS2's Jim Williams is live in Lincoln Park, and Jim, he had quite an encounter with a couple of voters when he went to vote.
Rob, it is unlikely the president will have such an encounter at his fancy fundraiser here in Lincoln Park. It is not every day that someone pokes fun at the president to his face. It happened at the president's polling place at 43rd and Cottage Grove this morning, and as you can see, the president was able to roll with it.
All right, I'm here to vote.
And the president did vote with the predictable fanfare, but surely he didn't expect this as he stood next to fellow voter Aya Cooper. Mike Jones is Cooper's boyfriend.
I said, I know you're Mr. President, but don't touch my girlfriend.
Yep, Jones teased the President of the United States.
I didn't know what to say. I was just shaking. I was like, oh, my God, this is the president. What am I supposed to do?
Wow. Respect for the office. Respect for, I'm sure they voted for the president. What do they call this? The low information voter? What do they call this? The lowest common denominator? These two?
The president expressed mock annoyance.
There's an example of it. Just embarrassing.
There's an example. What's this again? There's an example of a brother embarrassing me for no reason, just for no reason whatsoever. How presidential. So again, the president's voting. Some slappy comes up to him, don't touch my girlfriend. And the president responds, there's an example of a brother just embarrassing me for no reason, just no reason whatsoever. A sign of the times, huh? Hope and change. Quickly now to traffic at 580. 7:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll talk about the fiscal health of the nation with our friends from FreedomWorks, and we'll get to a West Ada mother that's mad because apparently the school gave her kid a shot. And my question to you is, how down are you with the flu shots? Are you one of these folks that gets the flu shots? We're told by the government that you better get your flu shot. How many people die from the flu shot? You better get it or else you'll be a naughty person. And when it comes to local schools, should they require kids, your kids, to get the flu shots? By the way, Justin says any kid coming into America does have to pass a health screening test in response to Jim from Starr's allegations concerning kids from AIDS coming in to be adopted in the Treasure Valley. Oh, good news all around, everybody. 49 in Starr, Idaho. Kevin Miller in the morning. Fox News is next. Remember, you're home for Fox News on the radio and the Treasure Valley.